Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 113 of Nerd Pride Radio. 113, it was actually on planet M113 in the original series of Star Trek that the ship went down and found the Forbidden Planet ripoff, where there was a scientist there and his wife, and they're the only ones on the planet studying this ancient culture that apparently disappeared thousands of years ago. But it turns out that his wife wasn't really his wife. It was actually an alien, the last sole survivor of the alien species only known as M113, because this was the last one, and it didn't talk much because it was mostly into eating people, except for, of course, the scientist it was now posing as the wife of. But other than that, like I say, pretty much a Forbidden Planet ripoff. Now, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. That was Noah. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my brain anymore. My co-host this week, Tiger Millionaire. And before we get into the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, I've got some updates. Okay, told you guys about my brother running a bulletin board game on my website. It's in the first forum. I can't remember the name of it because for some reason my brain is drawing a blank right now. But you know, it is my forum, so I'm sure I named it. Anyway, if you go into there, there is his bulletin board game that he's running now, which it's called Gleaming the Cube, and it's about office work, and it turns into this huge horror movie style thing where we're now battling Aggie, who I believe is some sort of demon thing, but I'm not quite sure. But like I said, we're having an awesome time. It is really, really spectacular. But coming up, he says starting after Thanksgiving, sometime into the holidays, he's going to start running a new one called Homeroom. And Homeroom is going to be featuring us as players playing junior high kids, so like 7th and 8th grade, so like 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range. And I can't wait. I'm so excited about this. If you guys want to get in on it, you got to come over to my forums, nerdprideradio.com/forums, find the Homeroom thread right there near the top, and just got signed up for it. Just tell him that you want to play. We're going to worry about hashing out characters and all the details later. He's basically using the Pathfinder Die 20 rules, but don't even worry too much about that, because most of the time, you just need to roll a 20-sided die when he tells you to roll a 20-sided die. We'll figure out all the modifiers and junk later. It's not a big deal. So even if you've never gamed before, even if you don't know the rules, even if any of that, get in on this game, because it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about doing it. I mean, seriously, we get to be junior high kids. There are so many possibilities. So many. I mean, do I want to be the stuck-up rich girl? Do I want to be the fat kid? Do I want to be, I mean, I could be a nerd, but yeah, I've been a nerd. But I want to be, I like playing the broken characters. I like playing someone flawed. So, for example, in Gleaming the Cube, we have to be office workers. Oh, I picked the most weaselly guy I have ever worked with. Just weaselly and backhanded and smarmy, and I decided to make myself a version of him, except I exaggerated all of those traits. And so I made myself a pretty unpleasant dude, was my plan. And I love playing that. It means I'm not going to be the hero. I'm not saving the day. I'm not even really that effective at anything I do, but I like playing it. It's fun and it's funny. We had a moment recently where Milton, all right, from Office Space and from Beavis and Butthead related stuff. And anyway, it's Tyler, my character, and Milton. And we've got this sort of bond going, unintentionally, but it doesn't matter. Milton is acting like he's my best friend because he thinks he is. And we're standing together and there's clearly going to be this horrifying attack. Someone is going to charge and attack one of us. And so we all have to come up with our actions and our, you know, we've all got weapons and we're ready. And are we going to fend her off? How are we going to do this? And so secretly we all send in our moves and me and Milton, I'm kind of like relying on Milton to be my shield. Like he's going to jump up and take the brunt of this while I stand back and act like I was trying to help. But oh, go Milton, go. All right. Thanks, Milton. Appreciate that. No, turns out me and Milton in unison both kind of stepped back out of the way and she just charges right by us and she gets Larry, which was awesome because Larry's kind of an ass. So, I mean, we're having so much fun. And so anyway, my brother is going to run homeroom coming up. You have plenty of time. Just come on over and just post that you have interest and we'll kind of develop things later. We haven't even gotten to making characters. Nobody's decided who they are or how we're going to play it, but I'm really excited. So you guys should come do that with us if you have any interest in it. Like I say, all you have to do is be interested in helping us tell a story. That's it. Don't worry about the rules. Don't worry about your role playing skill. You want to help us tell a story? This is your chance. Come get in with it. All right. Anyway. Enough of my updates. I am flying by the seat of my pants today. So let me just say this is going to be the meticulously plotted portion of my podcast. The time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod right there. All right, and the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. All right, and again, flying by the seat of my pants. I got a lot of stuff written down, but I haven't bothered to transfer it over to the script sheet, the show notes sheet. So I am working straight out of the pocket mod. First thing I've got on here. Oh, it's Pod People. Yeah. See, I use that song for Pod People because it's this is the section where I talk about podcasts that I've been listening to. And, anyway, I use that music because it's the music from my old podcast, from the Animal Cast, and I really like it. But for me, every time I say Pod People, every time I write it on the sheet, every time I'm preparing for this, when I say Pod People, immediately I start thinking of the song Bicycle by Queen, except I mean, instead of bicycle, I'm thinking Pod People, Pod People. I should record that. I should just do that and use that as my music every time. It doesn't make any difference. Anyway, let's see. All right. It says here on Pod People, it says H-O-R. Oh, that's History of Rome. Oh, yeah. I'm listening to the History of Rome podcast. I love this guy. He is entertaining. If you're into history, long history, then this is the guy. If you like hardcore history, Hardcore History is really the best out there because Dan Carlin makes it fascinating. But also, that, you know, that's once every few months that you get a new Hardcore History, which, by the way, we just did, and he's covering ancient empires. He's, like, building up from ancient Assyria, and it's really fascinating. Latest episode just came out. It's, like, 4 hours long. Totally worth your time. But also, History of Rome, man, this guy... There is something about it because he's got the whole thing is scripted. Every word that he's put down there is completely scripted ahead of time. You know, I admire his dedication. And History of Rome podcast has been over for a while, but if you've never listened to it, it's brand new to you. 180 episodes. Get in on that. All right. And I just want to say for those of you who have listened to it, I have gotten to the point now where every time he makes a joke, because it's always scripted out, and so he'll read off what is intended to be a joke. It's intended to be funny, but it's clearly him reading it, so it does not sound nearly as off the cuff as he would like it to, and yet they get funnier and funnier every time, just because, I don't know. It's weird. It's what a history nerd finds funny, I find the joke itself to be amusing, but also his delivery of it just makes it even better for me. I love listening to the history of Rome. Like I'm about episode 120 now, so I'm about two-thirds of the way through that one. And then after that, he's got, apparently, his Revolutions podcast, where he discusses revolutions throughout history in different places, I think. So I'm looking forward to doing that. But also, I've mentioned to you guys the podcast of The Crab Feast, and it's Ryan Sickler and Jay Larson, and they are stand-up comedians. This is other than The Nerdist, which I only listen to about every other episode of The Nerdist. Other than The Nerdist, this is the only Comedians Talking to Comedians podcast that I have left in my list. And I love these guys. And let me... The Crab Feast, and I think I've described it before, The Crab Feast is what I call campfire. All right? It is... there for them, it's... you go to a big crab feast, whether it's, you know, down south or it's, you know, East Coast, New England... but you go to a crab feast, and it's all neighbors and family and friends, and everybody's all together, and they have a big old crab feast. And then afterwards, as you're done with the meal, and everyone's just kind of picking at it, and people are lighting up their cigarettes and sitting around, you know, having a beer or two, they all tell stories. Everybody tries to come up with stories, and sometimes it's stories you've heard a million times before, but you love it when this guy tells this one. Telling stories, funny stories about their own lives. And everyone, while you're listening to this story and you're being entertained, in the back of your mind, you've kind of got your own story slotted away for, oh, when my turn comes up, I'm telling this one. And everyone's trying to outdo each other. And that's what these guys do. Ryan Sickler and Jay Larson, they bring on a guest every week, every Tuesday. And they have this guest tell fascinating stories. And I love this podcast. Every week, no matter who's on, I always enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you, if you want an introduction to the Crab Feast podcast, listen to one of the more recent episodes. I think it may be the last episode that was released at the time that I'm recording this, so last Tuesday. But Daniel Van Kirk is the name of the guest. So if you find the recent episode with Daniel Van Kirk, this is one of the funniest, because Daniel Van Kirk's been on a couple times before, and he's a big fan of the podcast himself. And so he says, you know, that as he's going around, when he comes up with a good story, when he remembers something, he's like, oh, if I ever get on the Crab Feast again, I have got to tell this story. So this is a guy that's been planning and plotting for this, and he's got his A material when he comes out. And so he tells a couple of stories on this one that just are hysterical, absolutely worth your time. If you want to try out a new podcast, if this sounds even vaguely appealing to you, go listen to The Crab Feast. And The Crab Feast does one other thing that I love. All right. And something that, that is a part of what I do here a little bit. The idea of having, and they only do it for the opening. All right. But they have this regular opening that they do the same thing every week, and it's live every week. So there's not like, you know, it's not like they have a pre-recorded version of it, but they open up with their theme song, which comes out, and then after the theme song, they'd run their little bit, their spiel, just like I do my spiel for opening up, and I do my little bits before each segment. And every week, I have to recite it right along with them. I know every word of it. I recite it with them, and it gets me excited and pumped up for their podcast. I love the way they do it. So another Tuesday, that's how they finish it up, and it is just great. And that's, yeah, the Crab Feast is released every Tuesday. That's their slogan, Crab Feast every Tuesday. And I absolutely love this podcast. Like I say, it's the last Comedians Talking to Comedians podcast that I keep. It's the only one that is still fresh and valuable to me. All the rest of them, it's like, yeah, I'm listening to the same people telling the same stories, doing the same stuff. I know their opinions. I know their stories. But this one, Crab Feast is worth your time. So, I highly recommend. Go check it out, and especially if you want a good place to start with The Crab Feast, Daniel Van Kirk. This guy's stuff is amazing, all right? But enough of the pod people. What else is up? Roku! I just used Roku to talk about whatever I'm watching on TV, because all of my TV comes through my Roku box anymore. I don't have cable. I get everything streaming, and specifically, I'm only bringing up Roku because last week I mentioned Steven Universe in passing and how I think Steven Universe is revolutionary and progressive, and there's some amazing stuff about it. But here's the thing. When I told you that, I had only seen three or four episodes of Steven Universe and was going off of the little bit that I'd seen and then some stuff that I had heard. Well, I am now 26 episodes into Steven Universe. There's only one season so far. One season, 35 episodes, 11 minutes per episode. So it's not even that huge of an investment. All right, do the math on it. It's a few hours of your time. But Steven Universe is potentially one of my favorite cartoons of all time. I love Steven Universe. Now, if I had a choice between Steven Universe and, say, Rick and Morty, well, look, these are completely different animals. And probably I'd wind up watching Rick and Morty because Rick and Morty is straight up funny and powerful and interesting and all that. But Steven Universe, oh, man. Like I say, it's a different beast altogether. It's a kid's cartoon, and it is clearly a kid's cartoon. It is so traditionally kid's cartoon that, you know, it always ends on this, ooh, stupid joke, fade out. It's got this just kind of gimmicky kid's thing feel, and yet there is so much emotion packed into this, and there's so much deep meaning to it. The relationships between these characters and the meaning and what it is that they're actually doing, it is phenomenal. All right, I just saw my son Jacob and his fiance Aaron. We were hanging out with them last night, and I mentioned that we were up to episode. At that time, we were up to episode 24 of Steven Universe, and I watched another couple episodes after we got home last night. And the two of them were they were practically jumping out of their own skin. They were so excited that we were watching it. And it's not just me. I'm watching it, and then I invited the kids in to watch with me, and then Aiden got all mad. He's like, well, oh, hold on. Dogs. Okay, now they're done. Aiden's got all mad. He's like, well, but I haven't seen the early episodes. I'm like, oh, it's all right. You can watch from here. He's like, no, I have to watch them in order, don't I? All right, fine. So we start over from the beginning. So now I've seen all the way up to episode 26, but I've also rewatched the first 12 with Aiden and the other little kids, and rewatching it, I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that went together. They were foreshadowing that ages ago. It's, again, stupid little cartoon, kids cartoon, and yet there is a lot of foreshadowing and a lot, it is tied together, and it was clearly elements of this were plotted out from the very beginning. There are hints in there that if you are looking correctly, you'll pick up on it and you'll ask yourself, well, okay, but that doesn't make sense. Why does she have that then? And you'll ask yourself that, but you don't know. And then as it gets further into the series, they start revealing that, oh, there was a reason for all that. And it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I cannot say it enough. If you just have to watch Steven Universe, you just have to watch it. And when I say it is progressive in terms of gender and sexuality and minority representation, and it is really, really progressive, and yet in a kid's cartoon that is all entirely appropriate for little children. It amazingly so. I mean, I think the lead voice casting, I think, is almost entirely, there's Steven, and Steven is played by a young man. But the women are, it's all women of color behind the scenes, and it's just fascinating. I keep wanting to say more, but I also don't want to give anything away, because I actually had I've always thought Steven Universe sounded interesting, but I never checked it out because I was never quite motivated enough, no matter how much Jacob told me I had to go watch it. And then I learned a couple of things about the show that I learned, and I went, oh, that's interesting. I have to see what that's about. And now I wish I had gotten myself motivated to watch it without having to have learned those spoilers ahead of time, because I think that reveal would have been way better had I not known. But anyway, go watch Steven Universe. You want to watch Steven Universe. It'll make you happy. Trust me. Okay. Now, after that, what's left on my list is all just random notes. So guess what? It's going to be some fingertips.
Fingertips. Fingertips. Fingertips.
All right. Fingertips is just stuff that I've got random notes that don't quite fill out a full segment. I don't want to prepare a whole 5, 10, 15 minutes on them. So I'll just throw them on out here and we'll see what happens. And some of them turn into full-fledged topics as I go. Some of them don't. But here's what's on the list. First off, it says flavorless cashews. All right. It's just an observation. We were at a meeting the other night, and oh my God, I've got another meeting coming up. All right, I'll get to that one in a second. That's not on the list. And for this meeting, they throw out a bunch of trail mix on the tables. Every table has a little bowl's full of some trail mix stuff. And so they've given us, you know, snacks and drinks for the course of this meeting. And I tried, because I love cashews. Cashews are my favorite thing in the world when it comes to well, not my favorite thing in the world. I guess there's hundreds of things that come in ahead of cashews, but cashews are pretty awesome is what I'm saying. I love a cashew. And I mean, if you give me a can of Planters cashews, I will eat the entire can. Give me a big old jar of Planters cashews, I will chug that jar of cashews down in no time. I love cashews. And so here's the trail mix. Everything's laid out. And, oh, it's got cashews in it. So I pick out a couple of cashews right away because I'm the kind of guy that would do that. I will pick out a couple of cashews. And then I feel guilty. So then I start taking some of everything because, you know, you can't just pick stuff out. But I pick out a couple of cashews and they are totally flavorless. I eat them and I'm like, that's not even cashew. That wasn't even worth my time. What? God, you know, this is nuts are some pretty heavy calories, and I'm getting nothing out of this because it's just bland. It just tastes like flat old cardboard. There was almost nothing to it. And then a little bit later in the meeting, I'm like, okay, now I feel guilty for having picked up the cashews, so let's pick up some of the other stuff. So it's got dried banana chips in it. I pick up the banana chips, and now I'm hypnotized because the banana chips taste exactly like the cashews. Like, I don't know if these were just, you know, because I saw them bring out the bags of trail mix, and they opened up the bags right there at the table and started, you know, pouring stuff out. So I know these were freshly opened bags, but I don't know how long those bags were sitting in storage wherever they had them, because they had been together so long that every single thing in that bag had picked up exactly the same flavor. All the flavor had just averaged out for the whole bag and turned into this cardboard nothing, which on the cashew was really, really disappointing. But on a banana chip, there was something so, I don't know, just fascinating. It was this flavor that it's like banana chips should not taste like flat, vaguely nut-flavored cardboard. It was weird. And so I wound up having like five of the banana chips because I just couldn't get over it. That was amazing. All right, anyway, that was my story about my flavorless cashews. That's all it was. All right. But I have another meeting coming up this week, and I don't know if anyone cares but me. But look, I live in a house with a single car driveway. All right. I have a driveway that is just wide enough for one car, just long enough for one car. Because if we put two cars on it, it blocks the sidewalk. So one car can go in my driveway, and one car conceivably could go in my garage, but only if we didn't have six bikes and a snowblower and a lawnmower and all the other stuff that goes in the garage. You know, if we maybe had a storage shed out back for all the garage stuff, then maybe I could put one car in the garage. But even when we first moved into the house and we put a car in the garage, you can barely get the doors open on either side. That's how narrow our garage is. Okay, so I've got room to park one car in front of my house. I have no street parking. But across the street, the railroad owns the land across the street, and so there are no houses across the street from me. And so everyone on our block, in fact, for a stretch of three blocks here, everyone here just, you got extra cars, you just park them across the street. You just pull them up on the grass, and you park along the street there, but, you know, up on the side on their property. And that has been the way it's been for years, like before we even moved in this place, like 30 years ago. They took out the alley. There used to be an alley behind our house so people could pull in and you could have parking behind the houses. But they took out our alley. So we have no alley, no street parking. I have no room in front of my house or in my garage to park. I've got room for one car. And then otherwise we park across the street. And for decades, nobody cared. That's just how everyone did it, and nobody cared. Well, then it came time that they needed to tear up part of the road because they were doing sewer work. And when they did the sewer work, suddenly people who had driveways couldn't park in their own driveways because the sewer work was blocking them. So we had double the number of cars parked over on the railroad side. I mean, there's so many cars parked over there because it was the only way you could get in and out is if you were parking on that side. And then, you know, they got done with the sewer work. It took about a month. And then, all right, everyone went back to parking where they were. Well, during that month, apparently whoever's in charge of mowing for the railroad or some other thing for the railroad decided that this is some sort of hazard that we're parking there. And so, oh man, on Tuesday, we're going to have a meeting at the city council offices where they're going to discuss parking for our 3-block area along here. And, I'm hoping discussion means that we're actually having a discussion and that they're going to ask us what our needs are and what our possible solutions are. But what I'm afraid of is that a discussion means we're going to come in and they're going to tell us that there's no more parking over there, that we're just going to have to. And I'm like, because here's the problem. I have, at a minimum, 4 cars to park in front of my house at any given time, 5 if Jacob's home. And so I have room for 1 in my driveway, and then the other 3, oh, man, we're in the middle of the block. So I would have to go down to the end of the block, but, oh, yeah, Durland Avenue is always filled up over there. There's no room on that one. So at best, I'm going to have to park the rest of my cars probably a block and a half away from my house, which I don't know. Maybe there's places where some of you live where that's a normal thing that, you know, you're lucky to park within a couple blocks of your place. But for me, that is unusual and a hardship. And in the winter, when the snow starts falling, it's going to suck. Especially when the snow falls and they have to plow. They always send out orders overnight that, oh, we're going to have to plow in the morning. So emergency snow parking, everyone can only park on the even numbered sides of the street. Well, when that happens, I'm going to have to park 3-4 blocks away. There's not going to be any room when we have to double everything up on the even sides of the street. I don't know what we're going to do for it. So, man, fingers crossed. I'm hoping this meeting turns out well. But anyway, hey, that's all my personal stuff. You guys don't care about any of that. Next on my list. Oh, Kung Fu. All right. I watched a series called Dark Matter. It's a sci-fi, almost space opera sort of thing. And I think it's a show. Dark Matter really, really, really wants to be Firefly in a lot of ways, but darker and edgier. And it is a fascinating premise, all right? A bunch of people wake up on a ship. They come out of suspended animation, 6 of them. They come out of suspended animation, and they have absolutely no memory of who they are or why they're here. And they slowly start to put it together, and they get some clues. And it turns out, and this all happens in the first episode, so I'm not giving anything away. They find out that they are all dangerous wanted criminals, like killers, murderers. That they're horrible criminal mercenaries, but they're all waking up thinking, you know, finding out this information and going, yeah, but that's not who I am, or certainly not who I want to be. How did we get from there to here? And so it's them, trying to make their way, as wanted criminals and trying to figure out, you know, how much they're tied to their past, how much they want to move forward, how much, okay. And it's a little simplistic because it's just not, the writing is just not up to Firefly standards. So it's kind of a simplistic sort of series in some ways, but it's interesting enough. But as we're watching the first episode, I almost quit watching in the first episode because they get to this one room as they're trying to figure out who's who and how they fit into the scheme of things. They come into one room, which is clearly set up as some sort of dojo training area. And there are swords everywhere, obvious martial arts equipment, training stuff, all of this. And as I'm looking over the cast, I'm like, oh God, it's all martial arts. It's all kung fu. Please don't tell me this is the Asian guy's room. Please don't tell me that they're going to pigeonhole that hundreds, possibly thousands of years in the future, that the Asian guy is the expert martial artist. And then sure enough, oh yeah, no, it's the Asian guy who knows kung fu. God damn it, did you have to do that? Really? Is that required? It was it's such an easy, lazy way to go. How much more interesting would it have been if it had been the giant black guy who was our huge martial artist? Or if it had been the Weasley white guy? Or if it had been the other white guy? Because, of course, there's more than one white guy. But everyone's represented. And so I almost quit watching because of that. But then I thought, you know what, I'll give him one more episode. Yeah, it's lazy writing, but I'll keep watching. And sure enough, yeah, the series has some episodes of lazy writing, but I can deal with that. All right. And it turned out to be interesting. I'm glad I watched it. It was fun. And it's only one season, 13 episodes. And now I have to wait around to see if they make another season. But then I'm watching iZombie, and there is an iZombie episode where, look, as she, in iZombie, our hero is a zombie. And as she eats people's brains, she starts getting flashes of their lives. She picks up little bits of them, like, you know, she suddenly speaks Russian or Ukrainian, or I can't remember which one it was. I don't remember what language it was she picked up. But she ate the brain of someone who spoke that language. Now she can speak it, and it doesn't last long, but she has that ability temporarily. She gets flashes of their lives, and so she uses those flashes, those visions, to help solve crimes. And, yeah, it's weird and it's gimmicky, but it works. And so in the latest episode that I watched of iZombie, she winds up embroiled in some battle between the cops and Asian gang members. And I can't remember if they were Chinese specifically or what nationality they were, but they were clearly Asian gang members. And she winds up eating the brain of one of the Asian gang members. And sure as crap, by the end of the episode, she has to go, "Oh my God, I know Kung Fu." I'm like, really? Really? Just because they're Asian, that gives them Kung Fu powers? Is that really? Are we that lazy as writers? Honestly, it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. And part of it, I'm a little sensitive to it because my brother, who is Korean, when he was little, I mean, even when he was 3 years old, at that time, one of the first questions that kids would ask whenever they met my brother and they realized, oh, you have a, they would always say, "Oh my God, your brother's Chinese?" No, he's not Chinese. He's Korean. I said, "Well, what's the difference?" And we'd have to explain. And then inevitably, within the first five questions they ask, "Wow, does he know karate?" No, he's three. Of course he doesn't know karate. What are you, an idiot? But we got that question all the time. It was just assumed that, oh, yeah, Asian people, you all know karate. Because back then, karate was the big thing. Now kung fu is better. But it comes and goes. But it's always that, oh, yeah, if you're Asian, you have to be a master of martial arts. And I just hate that stereotype. Just hate it. It bugs the crap out of me. And so having seen it again in Dark Matter and now in iZombie, it's sticking in my craw a little bit. It just bugs me. You couldn't have done better than that. You couldn't have come up with some other ability. And again, in iZombie, I get they wanted to play on, it was clearly once she got into this situation and she used her kung fu powers and she started kicking ass and all this, it was clearly an homage to The Matrix. It was clearly her repeating Keanu's line, of, "I know kung fu." Okay. And I get that, and I respect that, but did you have to make it an Asian dude? There was no other way to handle this? But apparently all Asian street gangs are led by people who are masters of kung fu. So that's the lesson I've taken from this. So, all right, enough about kung fu. What else is on my list? Ooh, speaking of The Matrix, next thing on my list is Lana Wachowski. If you're not familiar with the Wachowskis, Lana Wachowski and her brother Andy are the writer-directors of The Matrix and Cloud Atlas, and some things are good and some things aren't as good, but always interesting, always fascinating, and most recently, the TV show Sense8, which is a Netflix exclusive, and I have already raved about Sense8 and how much I love that show. What I didn't know is how much I love Lana Wachowski. I just saw a YouTube video. It's a half hour long, and it is Lana Wachowski accepting an award at some big banquet and giving this almost half hour long speech. And I was just stunned by her. Watching the speech, I should find, I don't even know where it was because I didn't save the link, but I should look it up and post out a link for you guys because it is totally worth it. Because I'm watching Lana Wachowski, who is a little bit older than I am now. I think she's 50 this year. I don't know. It's, you know, big old shock of pink hair, pink and purple, and she's very, very shy. All right. And so she doesn't do a whole lot of press for stuff. And she talks about this and the reasons why she doesn't do a lot of press. She doesn't do a lot of interviews because, one, she is painfully shy and always has been. And two, because she's afraid that every single interview will wind up revolving around, lazy interviewer questions about her gender and her sexuality, which is not the most important thing about her by far. Much like I listened to an interview with Colin Hanks recently that was wonderful. Colin Hanks is a great guy. He's a lot of fun. And he was talking about how most interviews he does, he says it is just, he says it's just painful because every interview he goes to, he says 99% of them, half the questions revolve around, so what's it like being Tom Hanks's kid? And it's 99% of them, they have half their questions revolving around who his dad is and not who he is and what he does. And he says it's just lazy. It's just lazy interviewing because they couldn't look far enough into his body of work and into his bio to find enough stuff to ask about without having to fall back on, hey, so you're Tom Hanks's son, huh? And just lazy. And which the interview, and I think it was on Nerdist, so it's probably Chris Hardwick. Chris said, oh, you know what? Next time I have your dad on the show, that's all I'm going to do. First 5 minutes, I'm going to do nothing but ask him questions about, so what's it like being Colin Hanks's dad? Which I think would be hysterical. So similarly, Lana Wachowski is, you know, again, in an interview, you know, most everybody is going to fall back on questions of, so as a transgendered person, how do you feel? You know, and it shouldn't be about all that. But anyway, the most important part here is, so I'm watching this whole speech that she gives, and I realize as I'm watching her, I can't take my eyes off of her because she is so engaging. She is incredibly smart, incredibly talented. I mean, again, she created The Matrix. She created Sense8, along with her brother. And so she's got all this talent there, and she's also just adorable, just charming and engaging. And it's like, I'm watching her in this speech, and I'm like, A, it's a shame that she doesn't do more press because, if you want visibility and representation, she is just an amazing person. And then B, I'm like, wow, I want to hang out with her. She's the kind of person that, you know, you see somebody and you're like, that's a person I want to go out and have a few drinks with just to hang out because I think any conversation she's a part of would just be fascinating. It's just, I get done with it and I'm like, I think I have a bit of a crush on Lana Wachowski. I really do. Cause she's just amazing. I'll post up a link. I will make a note here. Hold on. Instead of crossing Lana off of my list, I'm actually going to circle her name, Lana, so that I remember next time I look at my pocket mod that, oh, that's right. I was going to go get a link to that video to share with you guys. Just something fascinating to me about this, about the whole thing. I think the woman's incredible. So anyway, much respect to Lana Wachowski and her brother, but you know, he wasn't the one up there giving the speech, so I didn't get to stare at him for a half hour. What's next? You know what? I think I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done with that, and I'm going to say it's time for the Pod-O-Matic! Holy blueberries! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Okay, first number on the list is 15. And 15 comes from, oh man, it's just bare, there it is. It's from Akiva. All right. Akiva says, in episode 111, oh, this is a recent question. In episode 111, you mentioned the Texas Joneses branch of the family. Have the Texas Joneses and the Nebraska Joneses had a feud like the Hatfields and McCoys? If so, tell us what happened. And if not, how have you managed to keep the peace when you obviously hate each other? Okay. Look, so far, there's been no outright bloodshed. All right, but mostly because of the mediating force of our clan patriarch, Popo, who manages through sheer force of personality to keep the two feuding sides at bay, all right, and working together. However, he is becoming an old man. I mean, he's 67 now. So, you know, when the day comes that he's no longer with us, you know, God willing, not for another 20 years, but when that day comes, yeah, no, it's all out war. I will take that son of a bitch down. And by son of a bitch, I mean Kyle, obviously, because he is clearly the head of Clan Texas. And yeah, we will take him down. We will take all of their lands, all of their holdings, and sell their children into slavery. And then we will auction off everything we've taken from them, all right? Because I don't care what anyone does with it as long as Kyle doesn't have it. And then we will use the proceeds to add on to our palace and our fortifications here. And, well, maybe I shouldn't give away my plans to him right away. But absolutely. Right now, no. There's no problems between us. We, on the surface, everything is very amicable. All right. If you came to visit while we're all together, you would think that we all get along and that we all love each other a lot, because that's what it looks like. But you know the truth. Deep down, underneath, yeah, pure hatred. Number 18. At least we don't have to go far for this one. 18 is from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, have you ever had Mexican pizza? And he puts Mexican in quotes, I assume because he's racist. But then he explains, in parentheses, pizza crust, tomato sauce, cheese, ground beef, onions, jalapenos, Doritos, corn chips, taco shells, I assume crumbled up on top, and nacho cheese. Yes, I have had Mexican pizza. We have a couple of local pizza delivery places that will make Mexican pizza for delivery that are, not great, but my wife really likes it. Some of my kids really like it. It usually comes with fresh lettuce and tomato on the ones we get. So you got shredded lettuce and diced tomato on there as well. And it's not bad, but it's not my favorite pizza. I got nothing against a taco salad, and I certainly got nothing against making a taco salad and then crumbling all up on top of a pizza. That all sounds awesome to me, but not my favorite pizza. If I'm going to have taco salad, I'd rather just do a taco salad personally, but I completely understand the appeal. And like I say, my wife loves a Mexican pizza, so I'm with you. All right, 18. Once again, I think R2 is drunk because he's certainly not trying. Let's try again. There we go, 57, that's better. 57 is from Humongous. Oh, all right, question we've done before, but we will do again. What is your favorite sided die? All right, when it comes to dice, die 12 is the greatest die ever. I love a die 12, and there's just something about it. Maybe it's my love of the underdog. Maybe it's just that I like the flexibility of it. There is something, especially when you put two of them together, you get two die 12. So you're getting a number from 2 to 24. You're getting that fake bell curve that you get with just two dice. So you get that fake bell curve. So you got preponderance of results clumped towards the middle, but a wide enough spread to be really usable over a wide range of results. And the extreme results are not so extreme that you don't ever see them. But they're still rare. And I really like a die 12. Just always have. And no, you say, wait. But if you like the underdog, why not the die 4? Nobody likes the die 4. Well, that's because nobody likes the die 4. Die 4 is a piece of crap. I'm sorry. I can't. Die 4 is a necessary evil, is what I say. I can't stand those little things. But I got plenty of them. And I make use of them when the rules tell me I have to. But certainly not my favorite. 43 is also from Humongous. Humongous says, if you could go back in time to visit, where and when would you go? All right, well, we settled this last week in a different question. It was not this exact question. But I would go back to 1 week ago and give myself winning lottery numbers. There you go. 45 is also from Humongous. My goodness, man, you are dominating, which is weird because I know Kyle has at least three times the number of entries you do, but I'm impressed. Way to hold your own. Humongous says, do you own any swords? I do. I do not own as many swords as my kids. I own the one set of Japanese blades, and they're just decorative. They're not even sharp. Though the tips are sharp. I mean, I could stab somebody really well with them, I suppose. But I've got the katana and then the whatever the little one is. And they're on a little decorative lacquered stand on my desk downstairs. And they're really cool. My sons have far more swords than I do. There's, between the two of the older boys, there is a replica of Link's master sword. There is a cane sword. There are a couple of fantasy swords that, I mean, they're really oversized, completely unusable anime swords that, you know, if you actually made a sword that big, no one could actually lift the thing to be effective in combat. We got a couple of those. They have a lot of blades. So, and again, it's mostly decorative stuff, and it's mostly stuff from the popular nerd media that they enjoy, that I enjoy as well. But yeah, they have a few of them. But me, I think I just have those two that are part of a set. Pretty sure. 08. 08 is from... Oh, it's from Stan. Stan says, "Do you recycle?" "Yeah." "How religious are you about it?" "Eh, I'm not very good about it." Recycle for us, and I don't even know if it's real recycling or not. We have a recycling bin along with our regular garbage bin. And so we have a whole list of stuff that we keep posted on our fridge that tells us what kind of stuff can go into the recycling bin and what can't. So, you know, newspapers are good. Cardboard is good if we've removed all the staples and metal from it. You know, plain paper goes in there. Aluminum goes in there. There's a list of the plastics that can go in there. And so we essentially, all of our quote-unquote recyclables just all go in the recycling bin, done, and then they haul it away. So they have a separate, our garbage collector has a separate recycling truck that comes around once a month, picks up the recycling bins, and then takes them to someplace, I assume, that sorts them, that it pays for them to take it somewhere, have it sorted, and then they sell off the recyclables, and they apparently can make enough profit off of that, that it's worth it to them to just lump all the recyclables into a single can. I know there's lots of places that have separate recycling pickups for different kinds of stuff. That's not us. And I also know that there's probably other things that aren't, that can't be put into our recycling bin, but that that could be recycled, and I don't do anything to go recycle them. So I'm fairly lazy about it. It's like I will recycle if it's really super easy for me, and otherwise, I am not doing nearly enough to protect and save this planet. And I recognize that, but I'm okay with it. I've come to terms with it by simply not thinking about it. So you're kind of spoiling my plan here, Stan. Number 20. 20 is... Hey, it's from my wife. All right. And my wife says, Were Obi-Wan and Yoda using Luke Skywalker as bait? Oh, that is a great question. Were they, I mean, because, you know, look, here this kid, this Force-sensitive kid who they know is connected to Vader, were they simply training him up, getting him just far enough that they could bring out Vader and ultimately then the Emperor? And, oh man, maybe so, but I don't think so. I bet this is drawn from a much larger conspiracy theory that has all sorts of evidence to it. And I have not seen that conspiracy theory, so I don't know the evidence that shows that Obi-Wan and Yoda were really just using him, and whether or not things went according to their plan or not, I have no idea. But, you know, in my reading of it, I'm going to say no, but man, that's a really attractive proposition, isn't it? That's really cool. All right, I'm going to have to wrap up shortly, so let's just do one more. 37. 37 is from... Oh, darn it. Oh, enter. There we go. All right, 37. Now I can find it. It's from Kyle. Kyle says, "Imagine you're at a chess club." Okay, I can imagine it. "And you see Stephen Hawking sitting at a board with no opponent. Do you approach, take a seat, and in your best War Games computer voice say, 'Shall we play a game?' Yeah, I knew you wouldn't, coward." No, of course I wouldn't, because that would be really insulting. Look, I'm guessing that Stephen Hawking has a sense of humor about that sort of thing, but when a guy has an electronic voice, you don't just go sit down and mock his disability right to his face before you've even been introduced. I think that's a little presumptuous, Kyle Jones. I think, really, you need to be a little bit more respectful towards one of the most brilliant scientific minds of our generation. The simple fact that you would mock somebody for not mocking a disability shows what kind of a bully you are. That's what I think, personally. But hey, you know what? That's just me. Maybe I'm just a better person. Who knows? All right. We're all done. Enough of the Pod-O-Matic. So bring out GLaDOS. Give us a recap, girl.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye? And you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was, oh, it's Fingertips by They Might Be Giants, and My Son the Astronaut by Oppenheimer. I knew that. All these songs are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Hey, I mentioned to you that I had my Pocket Mod today. There it is. If you want your very own Pocket Mod, you go over to PocketMod.com. They'll give you instructions to get your very own for free. You want to do something nice for my podcast? If you're not already subscribed to it, subscribe to it. Go out and give us some good ratings and reviews on whatever subscription service you use. It helps people to find us. But also, just recommend it to the people around you. If you enjoy this podcast, then please spread the word. Tell other people. Get it out there and let other people come in and join our little club. I love to have them. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page over at nerdprideradio.com. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio. Facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio, @NerdPrideRadio on Twitter. It's all Nerd Pride Radio, people. But really, the very best way to come talk to me is you come over to my forums at NerdPrideRadio.com/forums. You sign up for an account there. Send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We will become best friends. I can't speak today. Best friends in the world. We'll have fun. What time is it now? Time for a little listener betrayal. Before every podcast, I go out and I post up on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums and over on my Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdprideradio, and I let people know I'm recording, and anything that they post up there, I will read off right here at the end of the cast. So we're going to start off with my forums. My forums start off with, oh my goodness, there's a bunch here. Let's start off with Talvin. Talvin says, "What? Darn it, I just closed my internet. I'm an idiot." But you knew that, right? Okay, here it is. We're back. And, Nerd Pride Radio. All right, Talvin says, "Why on earth have they developed a car that's smart enough to adjust the clock automatically when you drive from one time zone to another, but cannot automatically adjust the clock for daylight savings time?" Man, that is a great question, because I don't know. That makes no sense at all. The only way that you wouldn't automatically adjust for daylight savings time is if you thought the car might be in Arizona, which is what, mountain time? So, unless you're in mountain time, there's no reason that you shouldn't in this hemisphere, I think. But, I got nothing on that one. Because, yeah, it absolutely should. My computer asks me, when I first set up my computer, it says, "You want me to just automatically adjust for daylight savings?" Yeah, let's do that. And it does. So, I don't know. Unless, does Canada bother to enjoy daylight savings time? Enjoy? Practice? Go along with? I have no idea. Maybe it's in case you want to sell your car in Canada. I have no idea. All right. Talvin then says, "Thoughts on the trend of wearable technology like Fitbits, fad or future?" Yeah, future. We're going to have a lot more stuff like that. Simply because anything that we can keep track of easily and without thinking about it, we're going to want to. We like doing that. The only time that we won't do it with wearable technology is anytime you have to stick crap on your face, anything on your head that is obvious, like people walking around with their giant Bluetooth earpieces or people walking around with their Google Glasses on. Yeah, Google Glass. I had the right words. Anytime it makes it obvious that you've got this potentially recording technology strapped to your head, that we don't like. But other than that, everything else, I think, yeah, we're going to see more of it. I think we're going to see stuff that's just built into wearable stuff. And you're not going to be able to get away from it. I'm pretty sure. Talvin continues. Next post. What's the most impulsive thing you've ever done? Oh, wait. There's more, though. Would you move across the country without any job lined up? Would it matter if you didn't have kids or all of your kids had moved out of the house? Okay. The most impulsive thing I've ever done is when me and my college roommate jumped in the car with nothing but $27 cash and two cans of soup, and we drove to Chicago, which was a 9-hour drive. We drove to Chicago in the middle of the night. We got to Chicago. We drove up and down Lakeshore Drive. We got out at a little park there, and then we got back in the car and we drove home for no good reason other than, hey, it's Friday. You want to go somewhere? Sure. Where do you want to go? Would I move across the country without any job lined up? No. Unless I was retired and didn't need a job. But no, that's not something I would probably do. Would it matter if you didn't? Yeah, look, without the kids, I would be willing to be more impulsive. But yeah, I just don't. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't see it happen. All right. Oh, next one is from Aggie Fotopoulos. Aggie Fotopoulos is a dummy account created for our Gleaming the Cube game, which I already raved about earlier in the show. And Aggie is the bad guy, so I assume it's an account controlled by my brother. I have the ability to go check, but I haven't actually done that. So I assume that this is him, but maybe it's not. He may actually have recruited somebody to play Aggie's part. I have no idea. But Aggie Fotopoulos says, let's have a talk about Tweedlebeetles. What do you know about Tweedlebeetles? Well, when Tweedlebeetles fight, it's called a Tweedlebeetle battle. And when they battle in a puddle, it's a Tweedlebeetle puddle battle, obviously. And when Tweedlebeetles battle with paddles in a puddle, they call it a Tweedlebeetle puddle paddle battle. And when beetles battle beetles in a puddle paddle battle, and the beetle battle puddle is a puddle in a bottle, they call this a Tweedle beetle bottle puddle paddle battle muddle. And when beetles fight these battles in a bottle with their paddles, and the bottle's on a poodle, and the poodle's eating noodles, they call this a muddle puddle Tweedle poodle beetle noodle bottle paddle battle. Oh, he didn't go on. Oh, darn it. All right, anyway, doesn't matter. Next, she didn't go on. It could be anybody. We don't know. All right. Talvin then has the next post with Nerd Pride. I have to say about the decisions the guys made. All right. Nerd Pride. I have to say about the decisions the guys made and said it was a pain in the past. This sentence brought to you by autocomplete on my tablet. Nice. I tried using autocomplete on my phone because there's a gimmick that you can do where, you know, you type one word and then after that word you just accept whatever the default choice is for the next word from your autocomplete and just keep accepting autocomplete words until you have enough to make a sentence, 6 or 8 words, whatever it is, and then just send it. And unfortunately with mine, I was going to send something to Jacob, so I started with Jacob, and it was, it did, Jacob and I are in the morning, and it just went into a circle, and so, damn, it didn't do me anything really, really cool. I was kind of hoping, but anyway, I appreciate that, Talvin. Now that I know where it came from, let me try one more time. Nerd Pride, I have to say about the decisions the guys made and said it was a pain in the past. I love a pain in the past. I think that's hysterical. Okay, that is the end of Listener Betrayal on my website. So let's go out to Facebook and see if anybody cares. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go Nerd Pride Radio. And, hey, it says that I have some notifications. You think that's replies? It might be. My internet is super slow today. I'm sorry, guys. I am trying so hard. Hey, is it still recording? Good, it is. All right, I can't see that. All right, it says, listener betrayal. And it says 9 people reached, but it doesn't actually show me. Oh, here it is. There we go. And view one more comment. All right, there's all my comments. From my brother Kyle. Kyle says, oh, wait, let me put the done in here so people know that they can't post anymore. Done. All right. From my brother Kyle. Announce my new bulletin board role-playing game, Homeroom, and let everyone know that anyone is allowed to play. Good on you, man. Already done. I am so excited about that game. I really am, and I know you are, too. I applaud your work and the effort that you put into it. I know how tough it is to run a game like that, and I thank you, because it is really, really awesome. And then Nelly got the job. Congratulations, Nelly. You are awesome. All right, Nelly says, I got the job. I applied for a job, and I got it. I'm going to be working at Card Kingdom. You lucky dog. You might have heard of it. It's the pinnacle of game stores. Oh, Nelly, if I had even known that that's where you were applying, oh, you're a natural, a shoo-in. You deserve it. You absolutely deserve it. In fact, I'm going to like my brother's message. I'm going to like Nelly's message. Oh, Sarah Beth, is it going to be good enough for me to like this one too? Let's find out. Sarah Beth is next up. So if anyone's going to Card Kingdom, which I don't even know the location of Card Kingdom, I've heard the name. But, you know, maybe this is all something I'm making up in my own mind. But, you know, if you're going to Card Kingdom, look for Nelly. Say hi. She's awesome. Sarah Beth says, me like trivia, just finished recording some mini-sodes. You should be in one in a couple of weeks. I'm also pretty sure if any of your listeners are interested in guesting for the season, for season 2, you guys would love to have them. Yes, this is a shameless plug. Sorry about that. You don't have to apologize for nothing. I love Me Like Trivia. I will shill for Me Like Trivia any day of the week because I love that podcast. So what is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? Oh, wait. All right. So before I move on to her questions, let me go on. Hey, guys, seriously, Me Like Trivia. If you're not listening to Me Like Trivia, it is DM Darks, my awesome, awesome dungeon master, Pat. How awesome is DM Darks? So awesome. And him and a couple of friends run the Me Like Trivia podcast where they do, it's trivia night, and they run, you know, a whole bunch of questions and rack up their score. And, you know, sometimes they cheat a little bit because, you know, they're weasels like that. But it is just fascinating and it's fun. The guys are funny and entertaining. And it's fun to compete against them. I never win, but I love competing against them. So you guys really check it out. And if there are any of you who are interested in trivia, honestly, and you want to be a guest, let them know. Come over to my website and post up in their section of the forums. I have a whole Me Like Trivia section in there, or send a private message over to Pat or Blue Devil or Pat, Blue Devil, and, oh, man, I can't remember the third one. What's is it Poor Pete? Is that him? I think that's Pete's ID. Anyway, send a private message to one of them, letting them know you're interested. They will, honestly, they'll give you a call. You spend, you know, a half hour on the phone with them answering some questions while they, you know, and they're very nice about it because they patiently wait around and give you time to answer, even though Andrew already knows the answer. And it's really cool. And I've done it once, and I keep meaning to do it again, but we never kind of work out the schedule quite well enough. But I would absolutely love to do another one. So yeah, if you guys are interested in doing it yourself, go for it. Give them a message. Let them know you're interested. They will do that. Anyway, enough of the shameless plug. Sarah Beth then says, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? And then says, we don't have any plans yet. Can we crash your party? Our table is a little small, but we will welcome you in. Sure. We've got, it's usually us, and then now that all the kids are out of the house, my wife's parents don't usually have any plans for Thanksgiving at all, so we just invite them over, and they come hang out for an hour, and they have some supper, and then they head on home. And my favorite Thanksgiving side dish is, hard to say because I like so much at Thanksgiving, but I like a good stuffing. I also, I really like cheesy potatoes of any kind, scalloped cheesy potatoes or some kind of cheesy potato casserole or whatever it is. I love cheesy potatoes. But then, you know what? Straight up mashed potatoes and gravy? Oh, mashed potatoes and gravy are the best, especially if you've got some biscuits for dipping into the gravy. Oh, I'll do that. Or the best way to have mashed potatoes, if you happen to have corn, just a side dish of corn, start with your mashed potatoes, put a big old scoop of corn right over the top of that, and then add your gravy. Oh, it's spectacular. You know what? My favorite, it is hard to say my favorite. Well, I do know my favorite. And we don't have it every Thanksgiving. But my wife has a corn casserole recipe that is so good. It's made, it's a casserole, but it's a side dish that you make. And it is corn and creamed corn, and I don't know what else goes into it. And then you bake it, and you come up with, when it's all done, you get like little corn squares. It's like you're serving up brownies made of corn. And they are, it's corn, but sweet, and it's really, really good. So, man, I should look up the recipe for that, because, God, there's corn, cream corn, white shoe peg corn, corn meal. There's a lot of corn in this thing. Anyway, that's probably my favorite one. We don't have that every Thanksgiving, because here's the thing. When Thanksgiving comes around, we have turkey, sometimes ham, but usually turkey. And then every child gets to pick a side dish. And so it's going to be broccoli and cheese, and it'll be mashed potatoes, and it'll be, I usually pick biscuits or croissants or some sort of bread, dinner rolls, whatever it is. And so we let them pick, and that's how we wind up getting a Thanksgiving meal together. Because, again, it's just us, and then, grandma and grandpa come around. So nothing complicated. We don't go all out. We don't get too fancy because we want to enjoy ourselves. We don't want to spend the whole day cooking and then the rest of the day cleaning. So we make it pretty simple. But anyway, that's the end. I have got to go because I am late for a scout meeting. So seriously, guys, thank you for joining me again. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'll see you next week. Bye.